52. Well, there's a new challenge facing teachers across our country today as they face nervous and frightened students looking for reassurance and answers after Friday's tragic shootings.
Matt Beal is the director of child and adolescent psychiatry at Georgetown University. He joins us now live. Matt, it's inconceivable that this could be a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. So, first of all, should teachers be talking with students about this, and how do they do that?
It's a great question. Thanks very much for having me. And I think you're absolutely right that there is no one-size-fits-all, and any adults who are interacting with children in the wake of an incident like this have to be developmentally sensitive and think about what's the age of the child that I'm speaking to and how does this child communicate. And you're right, children, not just developmentally, but individually respond differently. Some are going to have lots of questions, and some will be very quiet. And I think the best approach really is to be as individualized as possible. Mm-hmm. I think it's not necessarily appropriate to bring it up with all kids, but if kids bring it up with us, whether teachers or doctors or parents, we need to be able to communicate directly and simply, as calmly as possible, because kids are really coming to us for reassurance.
Right. It's so important to listen to them and watch them closely at times like this. That may give you more evidence as to what they're thinking and how they're feeling than what they say. But, you know, for all of us, Matt, I mean, as parents, this is difficult enough as a parent, as an adult, to try to wrap your mind around something as hideous as this.
It's devastating.
Yeah. So, you know, in a way, you're stepping into a really tough thing here, trying to help your children at a time when you really are having a hard enough time trying to help yourself.
I think that's so true, and I think that all of us need to find the time after our kids are asleep at night or whenever the time that we have to talk to our significant others and friends and colleagues and have a chance to process it ourselves. And then during the time that we're with our children, remember that we have a very different role, which is to be reassuring, which is to be calm, which is to respond to their needs and questions, as you suggested, and I think that the kids are really looking to us to let them know that they're basically safe, and we should keep in mind, of course, that our schools are safe places. Our schools are overwhelmingly safe places, and when right. These things happen, it's devastating. It boggles the mind that an incident like this could happen. But the schools that we send our kids to each day are by and large incredibly safe places and good places for our kids, and we need to remind ourselves that that's our role, is to keep our kids in their normal routine, in the daily activities that make them feel calm and that the world is okay. And we need, and it's not, even though we feel that the world is turned upside down, it's appropriate and right for us to say to our kids that they are safe, that they're going to good, safe places, that we're here, we're available to support them and to help them, and that things are okay. Because that's the right message for kids. That's a true message. That's not misleading. Because we know that most of our kids, thank goodness, are safe when they leave the house each day.
And for kids for whom this might take longer to sink in, what sure. sort of signs should parents be looking for that there might be a problem?
Well, each parent knows their child best, but generally speaking, there's a developmental progression there, too. I think younger children, talking about preschool children, may have difficulties with sleep, may have much a re-exacerbation of separation anxiety, which can be sort of normal in younger kids.
Right.
Can get re-exacerbated by this stuff, can have sort of regression in their developmental milestones. School-age kids can also have some more separation anxiety. They may have physical symptoms, for example, headaches, stomach aches that are sort of unexplained and right. are kind of coming out of nowhere. They may also have sleep problems. And then older kids, when you get into preteen and teenage kids, they're more likely to be talking about it and to be openly distressed and anxious and concerned about what's going on in our world, as we all are.
Matt, we're just about out of time, but if you could quickly tell us, when do you know it's time to go for counseling, that you can't take care of it yourself?
Well, I think that after an incident like this, the bar should be low for that. If you're concerned about your child, please talk to somebody. Talk to your child guidance counselor at school. Talk to your pediatrician. Talk to a mental health professional. But this is a time we should all be reaching out for help.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt Beal, Director of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry at Georgetown University.